Hello out there and welcome. My name is Sharon Frosch and I am the Chief Operating Officer of the Discover Your Path You platform, where we believe that every life can teach and everyone can grow. To that end, I am also the host of this show, The Connection Sessions, where we bring together practitioners, artists, marketers, entrepreneurs, spiritualists, students, and mentors in an effort to connect to community, learn from each other, and grow. Today, I have with me a relatively new friend, Alexandra Cappucci, who is an extremely powerful person. Being around her is much what I would imagine being around a nuclear reactor is like. She's a lot like my friend Dave Gieselman, both of whom who are kind of natural forces of nature. She's a leadership coach and works on helping her clients and pretty much the world at large with her posts and her interaction with the general public kind of reclaim our sense of personal power and presence via the use of self-leadership. So Alexandra, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us, basically, how did you get into this particular line of work, coaching, and how did you come to focus on leadership as your niche?
First of all, I just want to say that that intro was fire. So thank you. It's really, really good. I'm sitting here ready to watch. How did I get into this work? Actually, I got into this work, I think as most of us do, from a really, really dark place. I was in my early 20s. I'm 33 now. I was in my early 20s and I was struggling really, really hard with disordered eating, disordered body image. And I was kind of in the space of my foray into this world was through the body and through food, because I was, you know, chronically dieting. I was binging, not purging. I was just miserable. I was hiding from the world. I would binge and cancel plans with my friends. And I was just living in this like bucket, this vat of self-hatred and shame, and really recognizing, I think that journey really made me recognize that nothing I do out here is going to fill any hole that I have in here.
Yeah.
And at the time, that realization at the time took me many years to reach. But once I reached it, I started recognizing that it's not so much about being an expert at what we do or perfect at what we do or doing the right things. It's really about learning how to be an expert at who we are and how we bring that into what we do.
That is so powerful.
And, yeah.
A lot of us don't understand that at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it took me many, many years. And once I recognized that, once I had that little flip of the switch, I just couldn't not be in this world of really understanding how do we lead ourselves? How do we transform? How do we gain enough perspective and awareness of who we are to be able to change that, to be able to influence that, and thus serve other people and serve the world and serve ourselves.
I absolutely love that. I think it's so true, especially here in Western society, and I'm sure that it is to a degree in every society, that we are constantly questioning ourselves. We are constantly questioning our body image. We're questioning whether or not we're smart enough, rich enough, sexy enough, desirable enough. Everything's always externally directed where our worth is concerned, and as a result, we don't seem to feel that sense of ownership of self, which I'm imagining is what you mean by the term self-leadership.
Yeah, I think by self-leadership, I mean multiple things, right? Like ownership of self, but also how do I move within that? And what do I do with that? You know, I think our awareness, for the most part, has often stopped at this one basic question that seems to drive a lot of people's behavior, which is what's wrong with me, right? Yeah. What's wrong with me? I need to lose weight. What's wrong with me? I can't seem to not eat the cake. What's wrong with me? Nobody wants to date me. What's wrong with me? I'm not making any money. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And self-leadership for me is really eradicating that question and starting with, okay, this is who I am and this is where I am. And what do I do from here, right? Because I think we've created this paradigm societally, I guess you could say, by which this what's wrong with me question has been driving our behaviors. I got to do the diet. I got to work out harder. I got to say the right thing around the attractive person so that they like me. Cause maybe if they like me, then I'll fill this void of unworthiness and I'll like have the perfect life, whatever it is. Right. Yeah. I need to make more money and yada, yada, yada. When we're operating from that, we're only going to get so far. Yeah. And oftentimes we go far straight in a circle. Down. Yeah. Either straight down, we go in a circle and then we go down. Right. self-leadership to me is really taking a look at, okay, that's not working for me. And that hasn't been useful up to this point. How do I lead myself? Yeah. How do I walk myself out of this container that I've created, this container of suffering, and do it with compassion, but with still the desire to change, but with vision, but with respect for myself. And when we create that as a jumping off point, we get to lead ourselves beyond where we even thought we wanted to get in the first place, which is like the dream guy or girl or the dream body or the dream money or whatever. All of that stuff becomes cool little experiences that reflect back to us, but it doesn't become the foundation through which we soak in our worth,
yeah,
and our walk in the world.
That's really powerful, because I know that for me, my childhood was one long social experiment in identifying the behaviors, ideas, words, etc., that garnered me acceptance from the people around me. And as a result, I'm in my 40s now trying to figure out who I really am. Mm-hmm. Who am I really? What do I really believe? What are my values? Not the values of my tribe, not the values of my church, not the values of my community, but my own values. Not the ones that garner me acceptance, but the ones that garner me my own authenticity and the availability to sit in my own skin in the quiet and be okay.
Right. To accept yourself.
It's so powerful to do that. And I love the way that you just so fully embrace yourself. And then on top of that embracing of yourself, you encourage others so fiercely to do the same for themselves.
Yeah, I think, I'm part of the LGBT community. And I think that one of the biggest gifts that has come along with radically hating and hiding myself is then on the other end, right? Because of that suffering, on the other end, I've also gotten to understand the gift of radically accepting and showing myself, right? And I think a lot of us hide. I think a lot of us are in closets, right? I think the closet metaphor is often used in the LGBT community, but I think a lot of us are in closets of shame, of fear, of, you know, whatever it is, of the spiritual closet or whatever, the coaching closet, whatever it is, the parts of us that we really want to hide so that we are accepted. And I think when we recognize that nothing feeds that sense of acceptance nearly as much as just claiming who we are and taking up space and owning it, as terrifying as it is.
That's so true. It really is. I often think of the way that we have this tendency to think that if I take up space fully embodying who I am, what I believe, and what I want, and I don't receive acceptance from my community, then I've done it wrong. Mm-hmm. That this will automatically...
That I am wrong.
Yeah, that this will garner me the acceptance of my community, not understanding that it's not about the acceptance of your community, because there's a huge difference between approval and acceptance. Lots of people can approve of you based upon your behavior, but those that accept you because of who they are, not because of what you do. Right. So how do you help those clients that you help thrive come to that understanding of the difference between approval and acceptance, and how to go for the big win of acceptance, even when it may feel bad in the short term?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think a lot of that comes down to, a lot of people have a hunger that they might not even know about to relate to themselves on these levels, right? Like to first relate to themselves on these levels. I think a lot of us look externally for so long until we tire ourselves out and then recognize like, I'm asking for acceptance from others. And I like look at the mirror in disgust. Yeah. Like what's that about? And so I think my first priority, whenever I'm working with someone, whether it's on an issue with their body or an issue with their finances or an issue with their relationships or an issue with anything, their business is really, what's your relationship to that thing because of your relationship to yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how are you showing up to the relationships in your life, the relationship of body, the relationship of money? And what that does is that actually roots us down to, well, what relationship do I actually have with myself? Right? Because if I have a really good, healthy, empowering relationship with myself, I'm not going to look in the mirror and be like, you're fucking ugly. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. And so I start to take a look at how are they relating to the things in their lives? And what can that tell me about how they're relating to themselves? And then we start there. And then we really look at what are your own values by which you live? You know, a lot of what I recognized over time was when we're terrified about what other people think of us or whether they're going to judge us or not, it's because we're trying to figure out what values of theirs we can fit into.
Yes.
And so one of the biggest things that I do is really start to reconstruct what are the values by which you want to live.
Yes.
And I think once we start to hook onto those values and embody those values and, you know, like we're wobbly little chicklets at first, but when we start to embody those values, we start to see I'm building this relationship with myself and it actually feels really good to own my value of honesty and integrity, even if that person shits on me for it, you know? And so I really kind of just bring it back to, great, let's look at your relationship with yourself, you know, by which we'll look at your relationship with a lot of things in your life. And then also, what are the values you actually want to exist by?
Yeah.
Not what are the values you think will bring you approval.
Right.
And that's usually the first step that we take.
That's really powerful. I like to coach from the position of earn your judgment, because you're going to get judged no matter what you do. You're going to get judged.
Oh my God.
People are going to judge you. And in fact, we tend to mete out more judgment on like that total queen that's out there just out there ruling the world and being herself. She's going to get judged a lot more than the one that's hiding on the sideline.
Absolutely.
Hoping that she gets these little teeny tiny scraps of acceptance. So how would you help your clients like arrive at that understanding of, look, you're going to get judged no matter what you do, earn that judgment. Make sure that it's that kind of judgment where you have earned every last little bit of it and can just be like, I wish I would.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one thing that's important to note in that is like, it doesn't always feel like I wish you would, right? Like I'm very comfortable with myself. And still, if somebody shits on me on the internet, I'm like, right? Like, I'm like, oh, like it hits me in the side, right? And so, number one, I share with my clients that it's totally normal to feel embarrassed, ashamed, scared, afraid. And like, your ego is afraid for its life, right? Yeah. Your ego is like, oh my God, no one's ever going to love me again. This is actually a process through which that I take my clients through is, actually, I'll share how I went through this process first. I posted something on the internet once within the last year that brought a lot more commentary than I thought it was going to bring and a lot of disagreement, right? Yeah. Both with me and with each other in the comments. And it was just like this vat of like, fuck. And I didn't mean for it to. It was really like when I posted it, it was playful. It was lighthearted. But it really gave me this, like, it just like was coming from every direction and all these different opinions. And I was like, fuck, fuck, fuck. And what I did in that moment was I, number one, acknowledged it. Right. And so I was like, cool. How does my body feel? I feel so embarrassed right now. I'm so terrified right now. And I just let it happen. Like I just let the turbulence of being in an emotion happen. So I work a lot with letting my clients be in their emotions, be in their bodies, have the somatic experience.
Yes.
Because actually having the somatic experience builds the resilience for the next time it happens, right? If we avoid that somatic experience, we just continue to do the same thing. So number one, acknowledge, have that experience. Be like, this blows. This fucking blows, right? Because I think it's really important to just be like, this sucks. Like, this is terrible. This is not what I wanted, you know? Feel that feeling, acknowledge it, acknowledge what you're afraid of, acknowledge how you feel stupid and how you feel misunderstood. And so in my process, I sat there and I was like, I feel embarrassed. And I did this out loud. I was sitting with a friend. I was like, I feel embarrassed. I feel judged. I feel dumb. I feel stupid. It's like my body is shaking. I'm miserable. And I went through that process until I was done. And then I moved into alchemizing it. And
love that.
By which I mean, I recognized that I had a choice to make in the moment.
Yeah.
And this takes practice, right? Catching it in the moment. I recognized that I had a choice to make. And so what I started doing in that moment, I acknowledged it. And then what I started doing was I started saying my truth, not the truth, but my truth is that I posted it from a playful place. My truth is that no matter who says anything, I know who I am. My truth is that, and some of them felt right, and some of them I had to claim for the first time. You know, my truth is that I know my voice, and I know that I can be powerful in this. And my truth is that I'm a good person. My truth is that other people are allowed to have different opinions. My truth is that their opinion really just shows me who they are, and it's the internet, right? And that's okay. And so I alchemized it, and I did that until I just did it until I was done doing it. And then the third step for me was acting in that. And by that, it can look different. But what does the action look like if I'm actually living in my truth? In that moment, the action for me was put my fucking phone away and go have dinner with my friends. And like, take a break. Like, don't get so sucked in. And so I take, this is a long-winded way to say that a lot of the process is being able to feel into the moment, being able to recognize your choice in the moment, and then actually employing a decision, which is so hard in some moments, right? When we're in like an emotional space. And once we do that, it's really cultivating the courage to just face the things that we're afraid of. And once we do that, we build the exact resilience we need to the very things we're afraid of. And so that's kind of what I work with clients on, is let's go be the buffalo. The buffalo are the only mammal that runs towards the storm, right? Because they know that if they run towards the storm, it'll pass them over. And so we kind of do the buffalo process. Let's run towards the things you're afraid of, and then let's acknowledge, alchemize, and act, and take your power back from the situation.
That's really powerful. I think a lot of us try to avoid that somatic experience, thinking that if I do that, then I won't have to experience the pain, not understanding that that's information. Mm-hmm. That somatic experience has information in it that we need in order to experience this differently down the road, having changed, having interacted with that information, absorbed it, and created wisdom from it.
Right.
And that's that wisdom, that body wisdom, that somatic wisdom of being able to understand, this is how I feel when X, Y, or Z happens, and this is how I can change it. So how do you help your clients really embrace the information that comes through emotion and those really chaotic thoughts and even the responses of others?
Yeah. So we usually employ radical curiosity, right? I think a lot of us operate from a place of trying to fix and control.
Yeah.
And I think one of the most powerful tools, and such an earnest tool, is radical curiosity. It kind of allows the fixing and the controlling part to just be put on pause for a minute. And let's actually like put enough air in the room to be curious about, like, oh, cool, what does it feel like? And, you know, I have neurotransformational processes. I'll take them through if they're in an emotional state at the moment. But what I teach them to do outside of our sessions is start with curiosity. Like, at least let that be the pause, right? That comes between like happening or event and reaction. Let's put like just a little space and then put a little curiosity in there, because that can radically change the whole thing. And that can at least give enough space to be like, okay, cool. What if I operated in this way? And in order to get there, I do a lot of slowing down with my clients. At the beginning of every session, we slow down. We do like a lot of deep, slow breathing. And I notice when I first start with a client, they're like fidgety. They don't want to slow down. They're like, they want to get to the call. Let's get to the call. Let's get to our coaching call, you know? And then after it, they're like, oh, I needed that. And then by what, 3 or 4 months in, they come to expect it. Their bodies are already like coming in relaxed and they're slowing down already. And so it kind of shows, I show them, let's slow down first. Let's slow down first, because you're going to carry that into your life as well. How can we slow down? Because when we face anything uncomfortable, our natural reaction is to speed up.
Yes. Right? Let's get through this as quickly as possible.
Right. Let's get the fuck out of here. And so when we slow down, we allow ourselves to create enough space to actually do processes like this, to actually use the tools that probably everybody knows all the tools, right? And it's using them that I find is the stickiest part for my clients.
Wow. It is true that it's in the slowing down that gives us that time to truly own ourselves and all of the tools that we do collect. And we live in a society that constantly keeps us running from one thing to the next, you know, time, got to get it done, get it done, get it done, no pain, no gain. And then we find right. ourselves in this constant flow of shit storm where there's never any space to just breathe.
Right. So, and like, how many times have you, I know I have, how many times have you read like a self-help book and you're like halfway through and you're like, I should probably read this one too. And I should probably fucking read this one too. Right. And it's like, because we're not slowing down enough to do the things that they say,
yeah,
and experiment with ourselves, right? And so another thing that another paradigm or framework I really try to bring my clients into is, all of this is an experiment. You're the experiment. So yeah. Let's see what happens if you punch a pillow this time instead of yelling at your partner, right? Like, let's just see what happens. And that takes a lot of the pressure off to like do it right or have it perfect or like get there. And when we do that, we open up space for like all this unfolding and actually using the tools and seeing what works.
That is so powerful. Well, I want to thank you so much for being with me here today, Alexandra. You're always somebody that I truly enjoy talking to. I would recognize our viewers, but guys, I forgot my cell phone in the other room, and I'm sure that there is like just a fire chat going on right now, because I know that that's what Alexandra tends to bring into any situation. So I apologize for not acknowledging your comments today, but I didn't have my phone with me. So to those of you who did view, thank you so very much. To those of you who come after when we're no longer live, drop us a hashtag replay. Let us know that you were here. If you liked what you heard today with Alex, I mean, come on, who wouldn't? Her website is on this Facebook Live. Get in touch with her on her website. Find out how you can get in on some of this goodness and help to transform your life into that self-leader that's going to lead you into a new space of thriving and getting it done the way you want to get it done, instead of being jerked around by the opinions, actions, and beliefs of other people. So again, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Sharon. Yeah.
And to all of you viewers, no, I love you. We'll be here tomorrow. Same place, same time, guys.